Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts.
Mark Reardon.
The real truth is that Joe Biden has left us a dumpster fire.
Every time there is substantive stuff,
Mark Reardon,
to talk about in the world of politics, Donald Trump's name is the headline.
People decided to return Donald Trump to power.
In the first term, everybody was fighting me. In this term, everybody wants to be my friend.
This is the Mark Reardon Show.
It's so damn hot. Milk was a bad choice.
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt about that. Fred actually texted that to me. What was funny about that is on Saturday, I texted producer emeritus David Klein, because I think, Fred, you would agree that during the, do we call it the David Klein era at this point?
Sure. I think we do.
Yeah. During the David Klein era, it's so funny because he's got a regular gig now. He went off into the world of
reality.
Reality. Hmm. And he says that people, he doesn't always listen until 4 o'clock. He drives home at 4 and he listens. But people tell him all the time. But in the David Klein era, we had that soundbite that became very popular. And my rule was always that if it was 100 degrees or higher, even the feels like temperature. And I think we have that this afternoon.
And my car
we?
Just said 100 when I pulled in the garage.
Yeah, well, if Sue's car says 100, I think that's where we're going to go with. No, it feels like 106 right now.
Ugh.
Now, I was telling someone this story. I moved from Milwaukee in 2006 back to St. Louis. I'd been here, and I lived here in 1979 to 1983 before I went to Mizzou. And Fred and Sue, probably you might remember this too. In that early part of the 1980s, it was brutally hot.
Yes.
Hot. I mean,
yes.
more so than I think we've experienced. And we had, harsher winters, too. I think we'd agree.
Yeah.
But, this is, I'm someone who said when I moved back from Milwaukee, I said, I like the heat better than the cold. I'm not going to complain about the heat. And here I am complaining about the heat because it's just brutal out there. Ethan said, I think he's crazy. He went to the Muni over the weekend. That's one of the reasons I never go to the Muni, because I can't envision sitting in, a theater outdoors when it's this hot. Now, it's a little bit better at night, right?
It is. And they have the big fans. They've really gotten better. I remember seeing half of Cats in the 90s?
Wait, half of Cats?
Yeah.
How did that work out?
Well, because Michael, maybe it was the 80s.
Because hot?
Yeah, it was so hot that he unfolded himself from the seat at midway through and said, are we done?
Yeah, I would say, are we done? I remember one time, we can talk about the Cardinals here because the Cubs are in town, and I saw the seats on Saturday afternoon. Actually, De La Cruz, and he's one of the big rookie stars for the Reds, right?
Young stars, yes.
So he's the shortstop, Sue.
Ah, gotcha.
I'm watching in the second or third inning. Arenado is at the plate, and De La Cruz just starts puking everywhere in the infield.
What?
And they showed it because, Arenado kind of looked away. He's like, oh, no. And then the catcher's like, oh, I can't look at this. It kind of reminds you of that scene from Stand By Me. I was telling my daughter about that movie today. And, to that guy's credit, he stayed in. Mm-hmm. And,
wow.
He played the rest of the game.
Yeah, he had a home run. He had a home run later in the
what?
Game.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And dang. The grounds crew had to come out and treat the field.
They dug the vomit out of the sand or the dirt. It was hilarious. I mean, I don't remember saying, I'm sure that there have been players. It was funny, too, because Chip Carey said something like, well, I think they probably had that situation during concerts here at Busch Stadium.
And he's probably right about that.
Now, what that shoots me back to is the Super Jams, when we did the Super Jams in the 1980s. All right, how is everyone?
Good.
Glad you're back.
I do want to hear a little bit more about the Muni, and we'll talk and we'll get caught up and everything. But obviously, where were you, Fred, on Saturday night when all this stuff started breaking out? I was chilling at home. Becky was at a pool, and then I get a couple of text messages. And then, I've said this before, it's not like I completely dial out on a weekend, but I was trying to kind of get away from things last week. So then when this all started, I knew that it was possible that it was going to start. I just didn't know when the timing was. And then Trump goes on TV later that night. One of the things, and I'll address this a little bit later in the hour, that was interesting is the CNN coverage. I don't suppose you watched any of that, Fred.
Not on CNN, no.
I'm watching Fox. I couldn't help myself. I said, I got to watch CNN, and I have to see how they're covering all this. And we're going to have updates this afternoon, by the way. Josh Hammer is going to be with us. We have Ann Wagner coming up in the next hour. But CNN was just lost. I don't think they knew what to do.
Oh, that's interesting.
Because they had Tapper was on, and they wanted to be critical, I think, and they didn't want to cheerlead. I will admit that I think Fox was cheerleading just a little bit, but I'm fine with that because I think it was a hell of a mission and something that we probably should be proud of. Now, I'm not suggesting that we get more involved here, right? But I do think that what was called for was exactly what Trump said he was going to do. That's one thing you can say right now. He was pretty clear on the threat. So he says this on Saturday.
Iran's key nuclear enrichment facilities have been completely and totally obliterated. Iran, the bully of the Middle East, must now make peace.
Then he went on to say this.
Tonight's was the most difficult of them all, by far, and perhaps the most lethal. But if peace does not come quickly, we will go after those other targets with precision, speed, and skill.
So we're very proud that Missouri was involved in this because we had the B-2 stealth bombers. I have a couple of very important questions about that that hopefully will be answered this afternoon. You got a 37-hour round trip, or I just took a trip to Greece, and I think it was 8 hours, 9 hours, and then another 3 hours. So you're talking about 12 or 13. How do you do that? And where do you pee? Okay, I'm just going to say, what do you do?
I'm sure they've got
how do you get some sleep? Well, they do, but I don't know what the specifics are.
It's called the
are.
Empty water bottle.
It could be.
No, I think they
it's
may have.
Like in the suit?
Well, it's no, like... I think that what I've been able to at least figure out in the early going here is I think they have, you know, crew members that are with them. They can't make the pilot fly 37 hours, right?
I don't think so.
No, you'd be
that's
in pretty
insane.
Big trouble. You wouldn't want to, you know, operate a military aircraft like that. So that would be a problem.
We say that like we really know anything.
Right.
No, we don't.
Well, you
we
know,
don't know,
I just I go based off of how long could I drive a car and like how long what's the absolute longest? And I don't even know if it's half of that I could do.
Right,
and feel
right.
good about
half well, of that, or you could like how
I'm
about like
about
2 hours? Yeah, it depends.
No.
If I'm cranking Diet Cokes, I might have only 20 minutes. You know, in the morning.
I'm saying like if I needed to do a full day trip, like a vacation,
taking
drive
your
to
bladder
like
out of the question.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I'm not even talking about bladder.
Right.
I'm talking about like being able to stay mentally aware.
Right.
I couldn't even do half of that probably.
Well, you shouldn't be allowed to do that. But I mean, look, they have crews, they're professionals, they train to do these things. As I said, we had some updates. You know, it was interesting too. This morning, I'm taking my daughter to swim practice, and often I am hit with. Not my Alexa, but the Alexa in the car saying, Alexa, play Olivia Rodrigo. And that's driving me crazy. That's a whole nother story right now with Olivia Rodrigo. She's moved on from T-Swifty to Olivia Rodrigo and Benson Boone and some of these things. But she asked me, you know, I think the specific question was, hey, what's going on with all this war stuff? And I said, and you know, it's a tough thing to explain to a 10-year-old, I think. And I did my best at explaining what nuclear weapons are. And the threat of nuclear weapons and how Iran is a, you know, state sponsor of terrorism. And I kind of, she had read in school this past year a book that focused on 9/11. And, you know, so she had an understanding of what happened on 9/11. So I went into that, you know, a little bit with Al-Qaeda and what we did with bin Laden. I mean, honestly, I don't know how much of this stuff is resonating. I was doing my best, but it was interesting because I don't like to expose her to a lot of the news stuff, especially when it's more complicated.
Sure.
And these kids, they're listening more often than we think. So I told her on the way there, I said, hey, I need to listen to this because I knew I was going to be back today and in communication with Fred. And I did my best at explaining it. But again, and I'll probably have a follow-up conversation because I just want to find out what her level of comprehension is. But here's one thing she said. I thought this was interesting. Well, Daddy, I think we're safe here in the middle of the country, you know, than they would be, you know, where the ocean is. And she said that because I think in her mind, war might be taking place more on the ground, or I don't even know what her comprehension is. But I said, yeah, I've even joked with my friend Rick in Las Vegas. And I think I said this on Saturday night. I said, hey, you want to hop on a flight to Missouri? Because I think that we're outside of the range of the missiles. Now, that was obviously tongue in cheek. But, you know, there has been a response by Iran today. So we should probably start with that here, and we'll do that with Josh Hammer in a little bit. The response was in Qatar. And this reminds me of something that happened many years ago. Fred, I don't know if you'll even remember this. I've played this before, but it's been a while. This is remember Tom Brokaw? Remember when we used to have esteemed news anchors? Mm-hmm. So he was covering, you know, this is illustrative in a couple of different ways. We've been talking about this issue with Iran and nuclear weapons for a long time. And here's what Tom Brokaw discovered, because how do you pronounce the name of that damn country? Annie was even saying that she was struggling. Is it, do you say I-R-A-N? How do you say it, Sue?
Say that again?
The country that we just bombed the crap out of. How do you say it?
Oh, I would say Iran.
Iran. How would you say it?
Iran.
Okay, Ethan.
I would say...
Well, microphone. Where's your microphone?
I would have said Iran prior to hearing all of what we have heard in the last couple of weeks.
And that was the debate. And I would say Iran. I think I've said Iran for a while. But how would you say Qatar? Would you say Qatar or listen to Brokaw?
I would say Qatar.
So if I said Qatar, I would be correct?
You are correct.
And if I said Qatar?
You are correct too.
What if I said Qatar?
You are correct too.
Oh.
Yeah, there you go. You're covered.
That's funny.
You're covered on all of those fronts. So there was a strike. It was limited today. And, you know, there were no U.S. lives that were taken. We're getting an update on a lot of things that are at least non-classified. Trump was meeting this afternoon in Washington with his national security staff. But Josh Hammer is going to join us with his reaction. He was just, is it true, Fred? You know, Scott Jennings was stuck in Israel for a little while when all this happened like 10 days ago. Mm-hmm. Jennings was there with Caitlyn Jenner. I started the rumor that they were dating. I don't know how far that got out there. But it was just ironic because there was a headline that said that Jennings was there with Caitlyn Jenner. But I guess Josh Hammer was there as well, right?
Yeah, when I texted him on Friday to book him, he said, hey, just got home this morning. Insane ordeal.
Yeah, well, we'll find out. He'll fill us in. That's coming up next.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
We got a lot to catch up on. And then going back to the heat, Dave Murray is going to join us after 4 o'clock with an update on that. I don't think we get any relief for a while, Sue, unfortunately.
Did they extend it to Thursday, this heat
like
thing?
The heat warning or
oh,
whatever?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, Fred says yes.
Stay indoors. I always feel bad because, look, we sit here and we complain about how cold it is in the studio. And there's people who have to work outside. There are people that have to, you know, be even again, not to complain too much, but we went to the pool a couple of times with Alexa. The water is like as warm as the air temperature.
Yeah, it's terrible.
So Josh Hammer is with us this afternoon, Newsweek senior editor at large. He hosts the Josh Hammer Show. You hear it Saturdays at 1 p.m. on 97.1 FM Talk. And I was gone all last week, but I was trekking, you know, some of the people like Scott Jennings was stuck, as I mentioned. Caitlyn Jenner, I'm not even sure why she was there. But Josh Hammer, you were also stuck in Israel for a little while before all this went down this weekend, correct? How are you this afternoon?
Mark, I'm just grateful to be home, my friend. It was quite an ordeal, to put it mildly.
So what happened? Before we get to the news of the moment and the news of the day, what were the circumstances in your trip? Because you've been there, obviously, before. It had to be a planned trip. And then all of a sudden, you were kind of on lockdown. And I can't even imagine being in a situation where, you know, there's air alert warnings and sirens going off and you don't know exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah, this was my sixth time there. So this was a personal trip. We primarily went over for... So my wife was born in Israel. She was raised primarily in Florida, but most of her family is still in Israel. So her cousin was getting married. So we were going over primarily for her cousin's wedding. And then her uncle's surprise 60th birthday party. So various kind of personal family reasons. Now, I ended up tacking on I was supposed to tack on a six-day group trip on the end of this, but it was primarily a personal family trip. And the sirens went off 4 or 5 days into this trip. And everything kind of just goes down the tubes from there. So that first Friday evening, so less than 24 hours after the sirens first went off, it was the Jewish Sabbath. Literally, Mark, my prayers were interrupted. We're supposed to welcome in the Holy Sabbath. We had to run down to the bomb shelter. So the next 72 to 96 hours, essentially just running to and from the bomb shelter. And because this was a personal trip, Mark, we brought our six-month-old.
Oh,
we had our six-month-old baby girl. So Think about that. You know, just running to and from, you have 90 seconds to 2 minutes to run to the bomb shelter there. And these bomb shelters, let's be clear here, they are very effective, but one, God forbid, if the house is hit, the rest of the house is destroyed, right? So your personal goods are gone. And the other thing to bear in mind is that these safety rooms, these bomb shelters, are built primarily for the rockets and mortars that come from Hamas in Gaza, to an extent Hezbollah in Lebanon. They're not necessarily designed for hypersonic ballistic missiles fired from 2,000 miles away from Iran. So that was the scariest part of all, Mark, is that we saw in the first few days the Israeli air defense was not necessarily intercepting everything. Now they did a pretty good job. I'm not necessarily crapping on Israel. They did a good job. This is very difficult to do, to be clear, to intercept a missile flying that fast at that altitude there. But too many were still getting through. And the real turning point for me was, I guess it was our third or fourth night after the war started. A neighboring town near to where we were staying in the Israeli center in the Tel Aviv suburbs called Petah Tikva, they had a direct hit on a building. And according to the Israeli media, two people died even though they were in the bomb shelter. So the bomb shelter did not protect them. Yeah. So that to me was, I freaked out. Yeah, I freaked out and I said, okay, we have to get the heck out of here. So that's when I started to put the wheels in motion. And this past week, it took us well over 3 days, 72 hours to get home. It was a total journey, a massive journey. We crossed the border into Jordan with a rescue evacuation group that was organized by Governor Ron DeSantis in Florida, an amazing Florida state senator named Jay Collins and former Army Green Beret, incredible man. He was our point of contact on the ground. So they got us across the border into a pretty sketchy part of Jordan. They got us to Amman, the capital of Jordan, spent the night in Amman, took a flight to Cyprus, which is kind of the hub of these of the hub and spokes operation there for all the Israelis evacuating. So a lot of the birthright students were evacuated on cruise ships to Cyprus. We ended up having our flight canceled from Cyprus and spent the unexpected night in Cyprus. Then finally fly home the next day to Tampa, where Governor DeSantis ends up waiting for us, much to my surprise, at the airport. To my double surprise, Mark, because I know him a little bit, he actually ends up asking me to join him at the press conference. So this was my 12 and a half, 13-hour flight, groggy, no-sleep press conference debut. So hopefully I was able to...
all that with a six-month-old, which has to make it even more stressful. By the way, the only thing I would say about that, and you might agree, as traumatic as that is and how much stress it was on you, thank God. I mean, I was just talking about my daughter a few minutes ago because she was asking questions about this because we were watching and listening to the coverage. But if that kid's a little older, then that becomes even more traumatic for sure. So probably more stressful on you, and I understand that, but wow, it could have probably been a little worse if you had a child that was a little older.
I think that's exactly right. And there were a lot of people on our evacuation. So initially there were 300 people in the buses across the Jordanian border. Through attrition in both Amman, Jordan and Larnaca, Cyprus, the final flight to Tampa ends up being about 160 people, but there were a lot of families with 5, 6, 7 and so forth year old sons and daughters, and my heart goes out to them.
Yeah.
Really, really, really tough. I mean, talking about sleepless nights, some people just sleeping at the airport, not making it to the hotel, just awful stuff. But Mark, look, at the end of the day, I choose to try to focus on the positives here. I mean, Florida teaming up with this organization called Gray Bull Rescue, they got us out safely. We're going to have a heck of a story to tell our daughter one day when she's old enough to appreciate it. And the funniest thing to me, Mark, is that our daughter's first passport stamp is going to be Jordan of all countries. I did not have that. Did not have that one on my bingo card.
Right. All right. So let's get to the news of the weekend. Here's Netanyahu on Sunday.
President Trump, I thank you. The people of Israel thank you. The forces of civilization thank you. God bless America. God bless Israel. And may God bless our unshakable alliance, our unbreakable faith.
So, Josh Hammer, I think a fair amount of people agree with Benjamin Netanyahu and President Trump, except for the Democrats in Congress, because they're calling for war crimes and stuff like that. They can't even get, in a partisan way, they have to show their stripes, even in this moment, when you're taking out nuclear capabilities.
Yeah, it's really remarkable stuff. I mean, Iran's response today was something of a nothing burger. It seems like they essentially telegraphed that it seems largely to me to be a face-saving operation or an attempt at a face-saving operation. And, the folks who were saying that this would lead to World War III and thousands of dead Americans there, I mean, they're either dishonest or frankly just stupid. I mean, they're one of those two, because nothing even remotely approximating that, thank God, has happened thus far. The American people, Mark, based on what I can tell, and the polls do shift a little bit, but CNN of all outlets, CNN over the weekend had my buddy Harry Enten doing the polling analysis on air, and they show that 79% of Democrats support taking military action if need be to get rid of the Iranian nuclear threat. For Republicans, it's well over 80%. So this is a broadly supported action. I mean, I think Americans correctly take a pretty dim view, to put it mildly, of the Iranian regime. And I say God bless President Trump for finally having the cojones, so to speak, to do what many presidents have talked about, but only one president thus far has actually done.
But, you know, having said that, you think of the people who are in Israel right now, because you don't know what the response is. That was, you know, some bombs that flew in Qatar and they took care of them. There was no U.S. military deaths. But if I'm living in Israel right now, or I'm still in war with Gaza, we kind of forget that. That's on the back page. You have to be on edge 24 hours a day, don't you?
No doubt about it. You know, even something as mundane as running out to the supermarket is kind of a fraught situation, because depending on where you are, the IDF home command probably will send out a warning to your phone to say, be near a bomb shelter. We're expecting possibly imminent fire. But when that siren actually goes off, you just don't have a ton of time. Again, 90 seconds, 2 minutes, maybe 2.5, but you really don't want to risk it, right? So it's pretty nerve-wracking stuff. I mean, we did leave on Sunday, so a couple of days after the war started, just to drive about 8 minutes to my wife's grandmother's house, because, you know, this is basically her, it's only grandparent left. I mean, we want to make sure that she sees her while she's there. But even then, when we were there, Mark, we were there a few hours, and then it's a 3 p.m. rush to the bomb shelter on the floor of the building. So, I mean, the whole trip kind of went down the toilet. But here's what I will say. After all that we just experienced there, the stress, the ordeal, and on the way to the evacuation pickup point, Mark, we actually saw a factory billowing black smoke. It took a direct hit from a missile. So, I mean, pretty harrowing stuff. I mean, these images are not going to go away anytime soon. But for all of that, what I will say is, if this is really the end of the Iranian nuclear threat from this joint Israeli and American operation, if this is really it, then everything that we went through will be more than worth it. Absolutely,
but
more than worth it.
It is a big if, because, you know, there are still stories now. Did they move stuff around? Did the Chinese help them move stuff around? Yep. So we don't have the definitive answer on that, and that's what I'm guessing they're going to keep talking about. Well, Josh, I'm glad. That is a crazy story. It really is. You could write a book just about that experience, you know, not outside of everything else that's going on right now. I'm glad you're safe. I'm glad the family is back on American soil. Of course, you can listen to Josh every Saturday afternoon at 1 p.m. Josh Hammer, great to have you on.
Thanks so much, Mark.
All right, that's nuts. Can you even imagine being in that situation? Now, I have not spoken with Scott Jennings since he's been back, because I took last week off and I was off the grid. We're going to try to get him on this week. He was putting up a bunch of videos and, you know, kind of doing some of the reporting for CNN when he was over there. And that was after, you know, the first attacks from 10 days ago. One of the questions I want to get to this afternoon, if we have time, or certainly this week, as impressive as this operation was, as impressive as the Israeli attack into Iran, you know, because they did this covertly, there was a Trojan horse. How in the world, this is a question that people have posed to me, how in the world did October 7th happen when you can do all of this stuff? You know, it's one of the questions that Netanyahu has never had to really confront, because we're still in that war. But I find that kind of interesting, because how could that have happened given the nature of all the other intelligence? Anyway, one question on my mind, we might get to that this afternoon.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
So I have a few stories I don't want to share from my week off, and then I almost rear-ended someone this morning with my daughter and one of my daughter's friends in the car, and it scared the hell out of me. We may get to that story. We do have Dave Murray coming up here after 4. I got a good, Sue had a puppy visit. There are far more important stories than puppy visits, but I did bring Max, and he's only 14 weeks old now, my new puppy, over. He's gotten so big.
He's
just
huge.
I know.
But Mark, he's like Instagram perfect. I mean, that dog is really
he's
cute.
And he's a good puppy. He really is. Yes. But we'll talk more about that as the afternoon goes on. So one of the first things that I see today, and my next guest will address this, is a bunch of these idiots in New York City, in D.C. and elsewhere, and they have their pre-made signs about war crimes and Trump and all this stuff. Here we go again with, you know, the professional protesters. Ajahn Omani has been kind of chronicling this on her great Twitter feed, senior fellow at the Independent Women's Network, the founder of the Pearl Network. How are you, Ajahn, this afternoon? It's always great to talk with you.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much. I'm so happy to be with you, and I'm literally searching St. Louis right now to see whether the propaganda's hit your streets, but I'm sure they did.
If it hasn't, it will by tonight or tomorrow afternoon, because we got some of that, you know, a couple of weeks ago. But so what happens in this moment? You've actually chronicled a little bit of a timeline here with, you know, CARE that issued the press release condemning the attack. And then on Saturday, just after that, President Trump goes on. You have the Answer Coalition, which is a socialist group that summons foot soldiers to the streets for anti-American protests on Sunday. And that's some of the video that I saw today, right? And they all have their signs and they're all printed and they're all ready to go here, aren't they?
They are. And I will take everybody onto the streets of Washington, D.C. with me. On Sunday, I went early. The tee-off time was 2 p.m. for the protest in front of the White House. So I know my reporting, and I went there an hour early. There was nobody there, but right after 2 o'clock, a phalanx of foot soldiers for this network that I call the Woke Army crossed Lafayette Park, which is right in front of the White House, and they were carrying with them, upside down, those protest signs that were pre-made saying no war with Iran. They had behind them wagons with the stages, the stage that they were going to assemble and put in front of the White House. They had the loudspeakers that they were going to be using.
Oh, they had a PA. And, good for them, right?
Yeah, they had everything. And this is the Party for Socialism and Liberation and the Answer Coalition, like you mentioned. And why do they matter? There's three words that I want everyone to learn today, and it's malign foreign influence. So malign, which means bad, foreign, which is always can be, was an immigrant to America, can go any which way, and influence. That can happen in many which ways. So malign foreign influence is how governments try to interfere in other nations' dynamics. And what you had there were foot soldiers for this network that includes self-described socialists, communists, Marxists. And they have been tied to this tycoon named Neville Roy Singham that the Senate is finally asking to come forward with papers about how he donates to these causes that are creating mayhem on our streets. And over the next hour, I'll just let your listeners know what we heard were the chants that are pre-scripted against Donald Trump, against America, against Israel. And the one that was most disturbing, perhaps, of all, as I was standing there, was there is only one solution, Intifada Revolution.
Right. And where does that leave us? Now, you mentioned Woke Army. You wrote a book on that, didn't you, Ajahn? So you've been covering this topic for a while. But it is interesting how quickly they swing into action. My hope on some of this, because a couple of weeks ago when they were doing some of these protests, I was worried that highways were going to be shut down and there was a threat of that. We didn't have a lot of that. And it seemed even when they were showing some of the stuff in L.A. and New York, some of the protests, that it was a very small group. Sometimes I think we give these groups a little bit too much attention. Would you say that these groups that are organized still represent, by the way, it's a bunch of white guilty kids, not people of color in many situations, that they're still a relatively small, you know, number, or are you not as optimistic? Is that?
No, they are a small number that are creating this myth of the marching millions through all of their little viral videos that they're posting everywhere. You know, if you notice, they do these really close shots and they speed up their little marches through towns because they're trying to show action and size. So there's a delusion and illusion to a lot of what they're doing. But the reason why everybody must pay attention is three facts that I'll state. One, a man that was Elias Rodriguez was radicalized by the Party for Socialism and Liberation, and then he went onto the streets of Washington, D.C. and murdered two Israeli embassy officials. The man who was in the Boulder attacks throwing Molotov cocktails at Jewish citizens was radicalized inside the Islamist network. And then finally, you know, what we have for sure is a script in which they are now aligning with Democratic political operatives from groups like Indivisible and this new group that started called 50501.
That was one of the groups. That's interesting you mentioned that, because that was one of the groups that was protesting here in St. Louis, and I was unfamiliar with them. So they're new.
Yes. So they're new, and they have been allegedly funded by the tycoon heiress of the Walmart empire.
That's right.
And so, as happens with a lot of these operations, we don't get to follow the money till much later when they may file tax filings, but they never reveal their donors. And that's why there's this subterfuge going on. And that's why I encourage everyone to pay attention, because this is like not only trying to capture, you know, the nation, but the minds of our young people.
Look, that's right. And it's a fight against Western civilization. We've talked about this for a while. It's very real. Now, I want you to, a couple of things about what you just said. Azra Nomani is back with us this afternoon. She is a senior fellow at the Independent Women's Network. She wrote the book, Woke Army. The NGOs that are funding this, some of that could be tax dollars, right? We could be paying for some of this. That's what's outrageous.
Oh, my gosh. That's what's outrageous. So I have done a database in this organization that I started called the Pearl Project, named for my friend Danny Pearl, who was murdered by the Islamists in Karachi in 2002. And in that database, I have documented 1,500 groups that are part of this network. And many of them get this nonprofit status that basically allows them to do their business without paying taxes.
Yeah, it's outrageous.
Yeah. And so everybody should pay attention, because what's happened is that there's this shadow network that is influencing America. And people may wonder, like, why is it that Donald Trump isn't being allowed to govern, you know, like any elected president would be normally allowed to do? And it's because the opposition has then coalesced this network in order to make it seem like millions are marching in the streets, refusing his presidency. And that's what's happening. And I just encourage everyone to be aware of it.
Well, I want to go one step further, because I think this is important as well. On your Twitter feed, you have highlighted, I want you to explain to the audience who Dr. Jonathan Brown is, because he is a professor at Georgetown, isn't he? He's essentially calling for Iran to retaliate against the U.S. One of the things that all those groups that you mentioned have in common, they hate our country like a professor at Georgetown does.
Yeah. And so Jonathan Brown is a man who is number four in my cast of characters in Woke Army, because I could see long ago how these Islamists that are the people that are the most extreme interpretation of Islam, not the one that my parents taught me, but the extremist one that Iran is practicing. And those folks have hijacked our academic institutions, and Jonathan Brown is example, like the Exhibit A. He married this woman named Leila Al-Arian, whose father was literally deported for terrorism financing. And we always joke about this when we have converts in Islam, but they always need to out-Muslim the Muslim. And so they have to be more extreme than any Muslim that they know. And so, in fact, just like you said, he wished Iran would strike a U.S. military base in order to, you know, just set things right. But this is not out of character for him. And he runs a center called Christian Muslim Understanding at Georgetown, originally funded by the Saudis. And it is a beachhead for the Muslim Brotherhood in America.
So, Azra, it would be one thing if there was this guy at Georgetown, Jonathan Brown, doing this. But let's face it, there are people like that, faculty members at every prestigious university, probably including Washington University here in St. Louis, all on the same page. Now, maybe he's a little bit more vocal on the X, formerly Twitter, but we know that this extends well beyond this one guy, Georgetown.
Oh, yeah, it's everywhere. And I want to give you guys a little bit of hope. Is I met a young student from Washington University in St. Louis who came with the Israeli flag Saturday night And he's an immigrant from, well, not an immigrant, actually a student, a Russian student from Russia. And he was representing the city really well, taking on the anti-American forces that had emerged that night. And so you sent a good emissary
good.
To D.C. Yeah. But like you said, they, you know, my dad, he came here to study in America, and he ended up, I grew up in West Virginia, at West Virginia University, because state colleges absorbed a lot of the, you know, international students that arrived. My dad served America well, has served America well. He's 92 now, and he taught nutrition, tried to teach, you know, good eating habits to West Virginians, and served humanity. But unfortunately, another group of these academics came here to exploit our freedoms to undermine America. And they are everywhere, at UC Berkeley, at Georgetown, at Harvard, Columbia, and in St. Louis, too, you know, because unfortunately, they understand that you have to take over city council, school boards, and, you know, the local government also, and city government, state government, in order to really impact change. And that's why you get, like, city resolutions against Israel, because they've entered into local politics, too.
Well, and that's what you mentioned, the indoctrination of these young people, and that is a large, large concern. But people like you are fighting the good fight and trying to fighting the good fight rather and trying to expose this. Osra, you know how much I love you. Thank you so much for coming on this afternoon. I appreciate
it. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Bye-bye.
And follow her on Twitter, because there is great, you know, exposés, and she's trying to get the word out about very important things. And the book is called Woke Army, if you want to check that out. We're coming back with more. Hang in there. Sue's News in the next hour. I do have a bunch of audio that I want to share this afternoon on the topic of Iran, and we may even hear from the White House this afternoon and try to bring that to you live. One of the things that, you know, is a legitimate question is, and I mentioned this with Josh Hammer in the earlier part of the hour, is were they able to move the nuclear materials or any of them out of the bunkers? Because, they kind of knew this was coming. They had to blast through these layers of granite, is my understanding, deep down to these bunkers where they're doing this research, and they have the enriched uranium. Well, Brent Sadler was on with Martha McCallum about an hour ago, and that's a legitimate question.
That's a good question. I would suspect the Mossad probably has a good idea. The Israeli intelligence agencies, if not ours. There was the interesting satellite imagery the day before the attacks, the President Trump's attacks, and Fodor, that there were lines of trucks. Where those trucks went, it can be tracked. It's probably not a surprise that there's probably some indication where those are. And, of course, the Chinese military aircraft that have been coming in and out of Tehran, what were they moving around? So there is a high probability that it's been dispersed, the nuclear-grade uranium, but it's also probably likely known. But again, 100% certainty is not really the rule of the game here. It's trying to get enough pain on the Iranians that they give up the ghost on this.
Yeah, and that's, I guess, where the negotiations are going to have to take place. Because, you know, in my mind, I think in a lot of people's minds, this is an attack that wipes out their capabilities. But it has been framed over the weekend, and I've even heard some folks on Fox say, look, this puts them behind 3 years or 5 years or 10 years. Well, that's not, you know, permanent. And the other thing that people have been trying to indicate is that Iran still has a fair amount of military capability. But what's interesting is, Josh even mentioned this, it seems like they were just trying to save face today. It was a very limited attack in Qatar. It was not something that was severely damaging. So what's going on there? And why in the hell would they not want to negotiate and do something diplomatically? Now, the people of Iran have not risen up in the streets yet. I think that there's some hope for that. Ann Wagner, Congresswoman from Missouri here in the 2nd District, will address that in the next hour. One of the reasons is, and we forget about some of this in our country because we have freedoms, we don't sue. When's the last time we had the internet shut down completely?
We've
had a couple of bugs with Twitter, right? But, you know, the President Trump or President Biden, if he was awake enough to do this, they can't press a button, or maybe they can, but they don't do it, that locks everything down and we don't have information. Well, in Iran, the people of Iran do not have information. Many of them, I would guess, probably don't even know that these attacks took place. So we have Congresswoman Wagner and then a military expert coming up after 5 o'clock, William Dunn, Marine Corps colonel retired, who's the president of something called Strategic Resilience Group. We'll ask him a bunch of those questions coming up as well. Sue's News in the next hour. Dave Murray, right after Fox News, coming up.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.